What a privilege it is. Not taken lightly. It is a message that some of us may say, oh man, we've heard this before. Why do we have to sit through this? But the reality behind what I'm going to share this morning is your hearts. So it's going to be fairly challenging. I think I have got a reputation for issuing out challenging words, which is I only get the opportunity probably two or three times a year. I'm trying to get invited back more often. But yes, so before we jump into the message, I just want to share the heart behind why we host. For our family, and I don't just say for Ange and I, but for our family, we love the opportunity. As soon as we hear that there is a team coming up from wherever, we had a team from the Netherlands the one time, we had teams from Zim, from South Africa, and when they come out, they're coming to serve, okay? They're coming to serve us, they're coming to do whatever it is that's going on at the time, and what ends up happening is they're in your home, and as we practice hospitality, all right, which is a blessing, there's so much that we receive as they just be with us and we walk a journey. And I believe that our kids, their love for the Lord and their hunger to go on mission is a result of them seeing others coming into their home. And I really would encourage you, put your hands up to this, invite guests, invite these guys that come to serve, and you will be changed. So what we've been going through in the last couple of weeks, and particularly last week, was a real emphasis. We feel the Lord just kind of shifting us a little bit from where the direction that we were going, as in terms of the theme and what God was saying to us, is very much going in the area of evangelism. And we had a prayer meeting two Wednesdays ago, and it was just, there was so much life on that prayer meeting. And then last week, I'm sure those of us that were here, we really started picking up the Lord's heart on this. So we're going to be spending the next, I don't know, 1, 2, 3 weeks, depends where the Lord decides to move, guys. We don't want to just come up with clever programs and have ways of, you know, building church. Because it's Jesus that said, I will build my church, okay? So we need to follow the Lord whenever he says, let's go in this direction. And this is the direction we feel like that we need to remind ourselves of. So a lot of us have heard this before. We know the scriptures well. But like I say, I'm hoping and I'm believing that the Lord is going to tap a bit deeper into the heart behind it all. So it is titled, Go and Make Disciples. I'm not sure. Yeah. So the Great Commission and the urgency of evangelism. Those are our key texts for this morning. And I want us to start off with Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20, which is where Jesus is speaking. And he brings this commission, which we're going to go into. Let us pray first. Lord Jesus, we thank you that there is no misunderstanding, mistakes, or confusion over this call. And this morning, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would speak to our hearts. That we would be like the people on the day of Pentecost and our hearts would be cut with the truth. That we would see, that we would understand, and we would know that this is the co-laboring that you've called us to. Amen. Amen. So Matthew 28:18, it says here, then Jesus came to them and said, right? So Jesus is talking. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to, who's it been given to? To Jesus. All. Now, we might skip this and say, but I thought this was about the go part, the commission part, the let's go and make disciples of the nations. But this is a very important understanding. It continues and says, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always. You're not on your own. To the ends of the ages. Five key words that you see I've highlighted there. Go. Can we go to the next slide? Can we all repeat this after me? Go. Make. Baptize. Teach. And always. Five fundamental understandings that I want us to have. The command flows from the authority of Christ. What did he start off by saying? All authority in heaven and earth, in heaven, has been given to me. That's what Jesus said. So when we go, it's his command, and he is with us. Amen? So the commission, it's a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not a good idea. Right? Who is it that was speaking to us at that moment? And who is Jesus? He's the king. And when a king gives a command, do his subjects just say, that's a good idea? Do they say, we'll think about it? Or do they say, well, I'm too shy. I don't have to obey that kind of a command. That's for the gifted guys. That's for the guys who are, you know, not shy, and it's easy for them to step out. And I hope that what I'm about to say will unlock that thinking and actually dissolve it so that you understand this command. All authority has been given to Jesus, and therefore we go. Authority in this context, it grounds the command. So what authority is Jesus talking about? It's the authority that comes from a king. It's not the authority that we see coming from our local police force. Do we understand the difference? Okay? The authority is the ruler of our lives, the ruler of the kingdom of heaven. We're not going in our own strength. Okay? So when a king gives a command, it's a delegated authority. Do you understand that? Delegated authority, meaning when the herald runs off with a message that the king has given, the herald is running and walking with the same authority of the word that has been issued by the king. And that herald is you and me. I could flippantly throw out very clever Christianese words like, we are ambassadors of Christ. How many times have we heard that? Unfortunately, because we say it so often, it gets diluted a bit. You need to understand what it is to be an ambassador. When the ambassador of, let's pick a country, Italy, stands in Zambia and speaks on behalf of his country, he speaks with authority, right? Would you agree with that? Okay. So you, as an ambassador of Christ, when you speak, you're speaking with the same authority that Jesus had when he said, all authority has been given to me. His authority needs to become our confidence. You cannot do this in your own strength. You cannot represent the Lord in your own strength. You will only represent the Lord in fullness if you understand that the authority has been given to us from him. The verse says, go and make disciples. We can change the, The verse says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. So the verb here is make disciples. The first question I want to ask is, are you a disciple? Are you a disciple? If you don't know the Lord, this morning if you're sitting here and I'm going to give an opportunity to introduce you to the love of my life. not Ange, okay, although she's a close second best, but the love of my life, okay, Jesus Christ. So as a disciple, how can we go and make disciples if we are not disciples? We can't. Flip the coin over. If you are a disciple, how can you not go and make disciples? I'm starting to tap deeper into the heart behind what Jesus was calling us to here. In the Greek, go, and I'm going to try to say this, parenthesis, which is actually, we kind of sometimes look at the word go as in, okay, I've got to make a very special plan to go and carry out this word. But actually the original text says that as you are going about your daily life, that's actually what the word go means. It's not an event. Yes, there are times where we are called to have an event where we will go and we will evangelize. But the call that Jesus was giving was, as you go about your daily life, make disciples. As you go about your daily life, make disciples. So evangelism is not a department of the church. And I've seen many, many movements where there is a special team and they're the ones who go and do the evangelizing. There's a special department or ministry area called evangelism. The mission is an everyday life thing. And that's what we call to. The love that sent Jesus now sends us. John 3:16, we all know this verse really, really well. For God, the Father, for God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. The love the Father has for us is what sent Jesus. And the love that Jesus has for us is what sends us. Does that make sense? Shall I say that again? The love the Father has for us is the same love that commissioned us to go and make disciples of the nations. Evangelism is not an obligation. It is love expressed. If we turn evangelism into a duty, right? If we like, okay, let me tick the box. Let me go and in my nervous rack try and share the gospel. God can use that, all right? But actually, if we begin to have the same heart of compassion that Jesus had. In Matthew 9:36, it said to us that Jesus had compassion for the people when he saw them. That compassion comes from a place of love. It comes from a place of our relationship with the Lord Jesus. As our relationship is intimate with the Lord, so our hearts will be broken for the lost. Guys, we cannot just do this as a duty. We can't just go out there and say, well, because the church has said we need to preach about the good news, I can tick my box. You see, my hope is that you'll find yourselves in a dilemma when you're standing in the bus queues or in the ShopRite queues, because your heart will be broken for the lost. You'll be looking at the people in front of you and behind you and wondering, the same love that God the Father had for me is for this person here. Do they know Jesus? Let's just have a look at how this all started and what Acts shows us about how the church grew. in Acts 2:41, it's Pentecost. We all know that they were waiting. Jesus told them, go and wait, for my Father will send a helper, which was the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has fallen upon those that were in the upper room. And it says here, so those who received his word were baptized. So Peter is preaching. He is sharing the gospel, the good news. And those that heard it were baptized. And there were added that day about 3,000 souls. The pattern that we see is that the word was preached, the people heard, the people believed, they were baptized, and then they were added. Why am I emphasizing this? Community doesn't begin with an institution. It doesn't begin with a building. The pattern is not, let's build an institution, a system, a building, and then go and find people and give them the good news. The overflow should be and will always be, we don't have any room left because the people are coming due to the good news, because we're doing it in the community. And therefore, let us accommodate that, which means let us build, or let us extend what the Lord is doing with us here. So the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Are we seeing that among us today in Gospel Central? Are we experiencing that the Lord is adding day by day to our number? Our biggest fear is that church growth is as a result of church hopping or those that are coming from other churches. Now, we're not saying that's bad. Yes, definitely. Find healthy church. If you're finding God speaking to you and you're finding health in that place and you're growing in your relationship with the Lord in a particular church, then join that church. By all means, it's great. But our greatest fear as leaders is that if our growth is primarily contributed due to believers being added, we need to actually be concerned about that. We need to ask ourselves, gosh, what are we building? Are we building a nice social club where it's nice to be among those that have similar beliefs? So we don't build buildings to fill, but we call people to fill. I'm just going to skip a few sections here. So the emphasis again, guys, is we are not going and doing this on our own. Jesus said here in Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After Jesus said these words, he was taken up before their eyes. What were the last things that Jesus said to his disciples? You'll receive power by the Holy Spirit, and you'll be my witnesses. Jerusalem, it speaks of our neighborhood. So the ascension was on the Mount of Olives, which was just outside of Jerusalem, about a day's walk. So the context there was Jerusalem being our neighborhood, where we live, our surroundings. So we will receive the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, to be able to witness in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, and even amongst our family. This is where we have to start. I hear many people saying, oh, I don't know what my calling is. We're all called to this. If you ever are grappling with, I don't know if I'm in the right place, just know that you're in Jerusalem. You're in Lusaka. You're in McKinney, or wherever it is that you've come from. That is where God has placed you. And that is where he's called you to your mission field. So you're already placed in this mission field. So ask yourself, what is my Jerusalem? Is it your workplace, your street? Is it your family? Is it your school? So the question is not, am I called to evangelize? Right? The question is, am I being obedient to the call, the command I have already received? The question is not, am I called to evangelize? You understand that? But rather, the question is, am I being obedient? I'm just going to ask Amy to share a small testimony. One of our sister churches in Stellenbosch, they have been exercising this muscle, and I think that's what we are looking to do, is to strengthen this muscle of evangelism. That's cool. You can stay there. In our church. And it's just been awesome to hear some of the stories that Amy's come back from their church in Stellenbosch. It's a Josh Jen church, also part of 412. And she's just going to share how this has overflowed into that.
Yeah, so the Lord has really been stretching our evangelism muscle in a scary way. At Stellenbosch, we kind of felt as a church, about a year ago, that Jesus' radical love deserves our radical lives. And so that kind of resulted in us doing quite a few different evangelism outreaches, just around town, on campus, outside bars, that kind of thing. And we were all terrified. We'd never really done it before. And this is in the context of an event, evangelism event. And it was so incredible to see how in our ill-equipped weakness, we're scared, don't know what to say, the Lord met us there as we stepped out. And he gave us the words, gave us exactly what we needed to say to exactly who needed to hear it. One of the really awesome times was we did a worship session in the center of campus one day, which was interesting. But a lot of people, it was so cool. We were just worshiping, and then a bunch of people would just join us as they were on their way to class or wherever they were going, and people started praying for each other and getting prophetic words for each other, and people were getting saved, and it was just the most beautiful thing. We kind of found that as we did that, or as I did that, it started to overflow into my personal life, in a way that it was no longer this big event. Evangelism wasn't a big event. But it was more a lifestyle that the Lord had called us to, each and every one of us. So this kind of played out in my life in classes and stuff, where I got this weird desire now to tell people about Jesus, the love of our lives, because how can we not, you know? But I was terrified still. I was terrified because the lecturers strongly discourage religion and speaking about God in classes and that kind of thing. So it was scary. But a friend of mine prayed for me from church. She prayed for boldness, and the Lord has been, just so faithful in creating special opportunities to speak about the Lord and just, share about Jesus in those spaces. So very cool.
Thanks, Amy. Yeah, I just love the fact that as we step out in our weakness, we just seem to find the words. And the words don't come from because we've studied hard. And I mean, obviously, you do need to know the basics of the gospel, okay? I'm not saying, you know, be irresponsible. And, you know, it's like having a sword and you don't know how to use it. You're just like, you can actually cause damage, okay? So, you know, do know the basics of the gospel, okay? Which is, we were lost, we are sinners in need of a savior. And the basics of it is that the penalty of sin has to be paid for. So when we ask somebody these questions, which can be hard, as you heard, we need to understand that what did Jesus say? He said, I will empower you by the Holy Spirit. Okay? And even if the person says, well, that's not me, I'm not interested. The scripture tells us that some will sow, some will water, and some will reap. It doesn't mean that our job is to always be reaping, okay? But as the overflow, and you know what I'm picking up here is that it took a bit of a, okay, let's rally together and let's go and do this thing together, which then overflowed and affected Amy's life to saying, ish, but I mean I know this person in class and they are in a difficult way. My heart of compassion, Jesus's heart of compassion is for her. And she's able to speak. And that's where we need to find ourselves, guys. When we're looking at others, are we looking at I'm on my own mission in life, I'm just trying to survive, I'm just trying to, you know? Or are we walking saying, this is the mission field? This is actually what God has called us to. All authority is mine, therefore go. This is what Jesus said. So the early church did not wait for a building. They just went. The early church didn't build a synagogue, because remember that is actually how they would meet. They just began to share the love of Jesus, and one by one, they were added to the church. A little side note that's really interesting. I love looking at the Bible like this. This is just my thing. I'm maybe one or two of you might. But you know that the day that Moses went up the mountain to get the Ten Commandments, which was the basics, the rules of how we live our lives, okay, God's heart for us, and they made the golden calf. You remember that story? And what happened? God said, yes, you better go down there because there's a problem. And when Moses got there, he was like, oh, and the tablets were broken. Okay, those commandments were broken. And on that day, 3,000, the old covenant, remember, 3,000 died on that day. We fast forward to the new covenant of grace and the love of Jesus and the penalty of sin that he has taken on our behalf. The first announcement, the first evangelistic crusade that happened, how many were added? Isn't that like interesting? 3,000 were added. Now, don't get all caught up in that. That's not the point. But the point is that the grace and the love of Jesus is so great for us that how can we stay silent? How can our hearts not be moved by this love? This is still the pattern, guys. It hasn't changed. In 2,000 plus years, the pattern has not changed. It is his people that go out as ambassadors, representatives, as we are called. The great commandment is activated The word says the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Why would it say that? How many are sitting here this morning? 150, maybe more, give or take? If all 150 of us began to take this message of the good news into the immediate areas of McKinney, surely we would see change. Surely we would see a community beginning to rumble. So we are laborers, we are the sent ones, and we are the ambassadors of the King. So let us go, and as we go, let us make disciples. Amen. And that's the simple message of the gospel. If there's one thing that I want you to take home with you this morning, and probably would have been better for Amy just to have said what she said and we go home. Okay? But one thing I want you guys to test your hearts. Remember the love that God the Father had for you. What did he do? He sent his son to pay your penalties. Right? That same love, that same compassion that Jesus had on the crowd when he saw them. Do you have that compassion for the people around you? It's a tough one. I'll be honest, guys. I'm speaking to myself. I don't always. Maybe one or two here and there. But those guys, But actually, why? So my heart's desire is that as I dig deeper into this over the next weeks, and as Yanku, we're going to mine into this. We're going to strengthen this muscle amongst us. That as we do this, that my heart would soften more and more. That I would have a compassion, not just for the few that I like, but that I would have compassion on everyone. That you would have compassion on every person you come into contact with. That the voice of the Holy Spirit would say, ask them, do they know me? Do they know me? Be bold. I'm going to pray for us that we would not be ashamed of the gospel. That our reputation of being a cool guy would not get in the way of souls being lost and going to hell. Is my reputation so important that people may not hear the gospel because I wanted to be the cool guy in a group? That's a scary thought. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you've opened our eyes, that you've revealed the truth to us and that we are free. And as we were worshiping this morning, we said that all authority, all power, all glory belongs to you. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would come right now and you would unlock our understanding of what it is to be a disciple, what it is to be an ambassador, what it is to have heard these words being said to every one of us. Go. Go about your business and make disciples. Go about your daily lives and make disciples. Our prayer, Lord, is that you would give us boldness. You'd give us the right words at the right time. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you'd soften our hearts. That if there are people groups or individuals that our heart is hardened to and turned away from, that we would be broken and that we would have compassion for those people. the same love that the Father had for us, that sent Jesus, is the same love that Jesus is giving to us today. He came for one priority, that we may be reunited with the Father. He came to be the door that opens to eternity in heaven. And this morning, I just believe that He's giving each of us keys to many hearts. That He's giving us a key to be able to unlock lives that are caught up in sin, in adultery, in idolatry. So I commission you all this morning, as Jesus commissioned us, to go. Unlock those doors. Open those hearts. Invite them to the river of life, where they will thirst no longer, they will hunger no longer, and they will begin an exciting journey. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Awesome.